Centuries of art has been sitting in the dark for 6 months, waiting to show itself again. On September 26th, it will. That's when the Museum of Fine Arts says it will open to the public again, with a host of new safety protocols, masks required, strict social distancing, and a rethinking of which art is on display. Will the museum meet the moment, and will it be enough to recover financially after laying off 100 people over the summer? Joining us now is the director of the MFA, Matthew Teitelbaum. Matthew, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Nice to be with you.
It's great to have you, and I know you have been working towards reopening for a while now. Some other museums opened as early as July. Why the longer wait for the MFA, and what makes you feel ready now?
Well, you know, we took the time we needed to ensure that an old, creaky building could be as welcoming and as safe as possible. We were on lockdown during the period we've been closed, which means really nobody in the building. We had to do a real cleaning, et cetera, et cetera. But the real reason, the deep reason, is we wanted to open with two special exhibitions. We had planned them before we closed. They were ready to go, and we wanted to show them and share them with our public. The challenge was that many aspects had already been designed for an old audience expectation. We had to redesign the exhibitions. We had to create safe protocols. We had to take down walls. We had to replace some signage on the wall with bigger signage, or we had to go to audio and not use handphones. All of those things had cascading effects and slowed us down. And
Matthew,
reason,
let me just interrupt, if you don't mind, for a minute, and just ask to give our listeners the full picture. What are these two exhibits to which you're referring?
Yeah, I was about to get to it. So when we're going to open in three phases. When you first come, you'll come to the American Wing. You'll see the great treasures of the American collection. You'll see Women Take the Floor, which is an extraordinary collection of work by women from our collection that has been on view and has been tweaked and changed slightly to add new artists. We'll be showing Black Histories, Black Futures, an exhibition of work by black artists in our collection curated by students in Boston. That'll be phase one. American Wing. Second phase will be the opening of Writing the Future, Basquiat and the Hip Hop Generation, which looks at a group of young artists, active in New York in the early 1980s, who made work together. And their work was energetic, colorful, used a lot of text and language and poetry to say, we want to be in the dialogue about what art is. These were mostly artists of color. They were younger. They were multidisciplinary. So it looks at a moment in New York art history that's really resonant today because it's about how community is formed. And then the third phase, all of this is going to happen 2 weeks after each other, so it's all going to happen fairly quickly, will be the opening of our Monet in Boston exhibition, which looks at almost 40 works by Claude Monet, the great impressionist, almost all drawn from our collection. It's the first time in a generation when all of our Monet paintings are home. They're actually in the building, not on loan to other exhibitions and not elsewhere. And we're going to show the Monet exhibition along with a small exhibition of his compatriot, Paul Cézanne. So something really energetic, something really contemplative, something really about history, something really about this moment. So we think with that content and the safety protocols we've put in place, we will be a place that people want to be. And frankly, that's why it took the time that it did.
Well, that makes sense, Matthew. You know, at the very beginning, you said you wanted to make the space both welcoming and safe. And what strikes me is that that mirrors the two intersecting moments that we're in. Safe being, in my mind, a reference to the pandemic, and welcoming meaning this moment when we are working on racial justice in our communities. And for many, that's been a particular focus since the death of George Floyd in May. But we've talked repeatedly with you here on Radio Boston about it being a longer tail after an incident, a racist incident with middle school students at the MFA well over a year ago, I think close to a year and a half ago now. In listening to these exhibits that you've chosen, it feels like this is part of your goal to be a museum that is for all the populations of the city of Boston. Is that right?
Yes, and you say it very well. We have to be a museum for all of Boston. That means we have to have the right invitation and we have to have the right welcome. And the only way you have the right welcome is for the views and the content and the energy of the institution to be reflective of the audiences you desire. And what I would only say as a small corrective is much of this work we've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years. It is core to our strategic plan from 2017. This notion of how do you create experiences around exhibitions and the presentation of art that really make people feel as though they can connect, as though they can really connect, which is why when we did the Nubia show, which we did just under a year ago, which is, you know, a civilization that's many millennia old, we actually looked at it through the point of view of active artists and scholars and students in the Boston area and had them help us understand what this history meant to them today. And that invitation of different voices into the museum is what I think will finally start shifting the museum so that it feels as though it belongs to all of Boston, a very, very high goal for us.
So that's the welcoming part. Now let's talk about the safety part. What kinds of measures have you put in place to reopen during the pandemic? And what will that do to things like the number of people who can come in at once and revenues from ticket sales or people coming in, paying to come into the museum?
So two parts to the answer. We're going to have very specific protocols. You have to go online, order your ticket, and bring your ticket in advance. There'll be no actual ticket transactions in the space. There'll be no coat check. By the way, there'll be no food. There'll be food trucks outside, but there won't be actual in the cafeteria. The restaurant will not be open. We just can't gather people in that way. It's not safe enough. So you're going to get your ticket before. You're going to come to the museum. You're going to be greeted by somebody who smiles and says, come on in. We're glad you're here. You're going to have a very specific route you're going to follow. So there's not going to be a lot of random wandering through the museum. It's going to be comfortable. It's going to be easy. But it's not going to be random. It's going to be in a line, and you're going to walk through, and you're going to go to the first phase to the American Wing. You're going to be able to walk through the American Wing with a fair bit of freedom. You're going to walk around. You're going to look at this gallery, that gallery. There are going to be some changes, some moments in the gallery that will be pretty interesting because we brought some new works of art out of storage to sort of change the narrative a bit and stuff like that. Then completely refurbish the washrooms so that they are automatic. We have hand sanitizer virtually every step you take, so it's there for you at your discretion to use. And of course, everybody will have to wear a mask. It is something we're simply going to insist on. We'll give masks for those who don't bring them. But the idea is that you want to see the people you're with showing the care for you that you will also share with them. And so that will be a standard that we will need to meet. And then as the museum starts to open more and more, more areas and pathways through the museum will open up.
So, Matthew, those are significant investments and significant restrictions. Talk to us about the financial health of the museum right now, especially given 6 months of closure, the need to lay off approximately 100 people over the summer. Where are you financially, and what is the path forward to financial survival and stability?
Listen, you know, you can never say that you've done the right thing. You can never say that you've taken the actions that are necessary, particularly in a context, number one, that's unpredictable, and number two, where whatever actions you take, you cause a sense of loss. We actually laid off 57 people. A number of other people took early retirement on very favorable terms, but in terms of actual layoffs, it was lower than the number you're using. But the point still holds. We're a smaller staff. We can do less, and we have less capability to raise the funding to support the institution. We estimate it'll take between 2 and 3 years to get back to balance. In other words, even opening the doors is a losing proposition from a purely financial point of view. There will be some revenue. We do have an endowment that still, you know, generates some funding. But our standard earned revenue, which are things like the admission and the food and the retail operations, are severely, severely impacted. So what's my answer to you? We're using some cash reserves. We're doing some fundraising. We are being very careful with our costs, and we're trying to narrow the gap between our expenses and our revenues as much as we can. We have a plan that will get us back to some form of equilibrium in between 2 and 3 years if our assumptions are correct. But I can only say to you, it's a very uncertain environment where, you know, our business is going to stay closed longer. Is there going to be a second outbreak? What's going to happen with the universities and the schools? These are all things that impact the operation of the museum.
So with that in mind, what is most important to you, let's say over the next 6 months, as the leader of the MFA?
The most important thing is that we continue to be and build upon our reputation as a cherished institution in this community. The people come, they share, they advocate, they support. That the idea of the museum in Boston and all it does for Boston in creating community, in sharing deep pleasure, in allowing people's imaginations to soar, all those things that museums do by bringing people together is honored, deepened, and that slowly, maybe my wish would be not so slowly, that we get back to a more normal cadence, that people understand that by being in the museum, that act of celebration and experience makes us all stronger. That is my biggest hope.
And that's Matthew Teitelbaum, Director of the Museum of Fine Arts. Matthew, thanks so much for the time today, and good luck with the reopening later this month.
Thank you so much. See you at your Museum of Fine Arts.